Well, today I'm going to talk about a topic that is often challenging because we need to change. But changing is something that people are not very willing to talk about. I remember maybe a couple of years ago when we invited a former CIU president to talk to us, Dr. John Miller. And he said, well, you are doing mission conference, you are doing elders installation, and you want to have a newer look next year in your congregation, and the church is going that direction. But I'm telling you, you know, these are all changes, and change is hard. And I have heard many things will not be changed because we have like seven words in the church that is usually the last word that people are saying. And I was interpreting for him, and I was counting. Okay, seven words. What are those seven words? And he said, our church has never done this before. Okay, so this is the reason. This is the ultimate reason why change is not made. Because our church has never done this before. Well, my home has never done this before. I have never done this before. So changing and doing this for the first time brings stress, brings sometimes fear. But, you know, what other people are saying, sometimes change is needed, and change is what brings new hope and a new mind and refreshment. So this is actually when I pick up Esther from her school. So some of you, maybe Andrew, went to Elmo Middle before, quite a few years ago. I don't know how many, how long. But at that time, I don't know if that sign was there. But here, so because change brings sometimes failure. So this is an encouragement from Churchill. And he basically said that, okay, don't be afraid of a failure. So it's because success sometimes is built on failures and changes. And there's another saying, because the sign is too small, so I had to enlarge that for you. And this is what the sign says. So, don't think I was driving careless. Okay, I was stopping, and then I would take the picture. Okay, so don't think I was crazy. Okay, but the car was parked and stopped. So change almost never fails because it's too early. It almost always fails because it's too late. And this guy, you probably, some of you may know him, some may not, but he's not a spiritual guy. He's not like a pastor. He's not a lecturer or whatever. He's actually a successful businessman. But, I mean, anything, even sometimes is in a secular world, and if they have some kind of truth, if they have some wisdom, all wisdom comes from God. Okay, don't be shy if you learn something new from a secular guy. Don't be shy. We'll talk about it a little bit later from Bible here, from the words that we're going to read. We're going to talk about from learning lessons from Assyrians. Okay, Assyrians will be the enemy of Israelites, and they will be evil people. But God still uses them to teach lessons to God's people. So my point is that, okay, don't be afraid of learning lessons or learning good wisdom from others. By the way, God sometimes uses ants. Okay, and he said in Proverbs, what does he say? He said, okay, if you want wisdom, go and watch ants and see how they are using, see how they are working together. And sometimes God even uses donkey. Okay, so don't be afraid if you learn something from other people outside of the Bible or outside of God's people. So don't be afraid, okay? So, but anyway, change that basically, he encourages us to change, and the Bible does the same. I think if he has some truth in there, the truth must come from God. So he must have learned from God, even though sometimes he doesn't even know God. So don't be afraid, okay? But changing, sometimes, you know, there are many forms of changing. Sometimes change is in terms of your age, in terms of your body, or your size, or your family, or your church. Sometimes it's other spiritual change, and that you cannot even see. Some change are obvious to say, some change are not. So I got a card that is very interesting, so I took a picture to share with you. And in this card, the one side of the card says that growing older is mandatory. So every one of us cannot avoid the fate. Okay, we are growing older. So good or bad is your call. Okay, sometimes growing older, some people like it, some people don't like it. Okay, it's your opinion, but no matter how well you like or you don't like, we're growing older. I'm 42 years old already. I'm going to be 43. Well, you do the math next year, okay? But anyway, so you're adding your ages. You know, growing older is mandatory. But the other side of the card says that growing up isn't. Because sometimes, okay, people are growing older in age, but they are not growing in maturity. So, basically, it says that some change is unavoidable. Some change must be intentional. So, basically, that's what I'm talking about today from the Bible. We need to focus on two big questions. If we have to change, and some change must be made intentionally, according to God's plan, the two big questions are, where are we changing from, and where are we changing to? If God is challenging us to change, where does he call us to change from, and where does he want us to go? So those are the two big questions that we need to answer from God's word today. But I just want to reinforce you that, you know, changes, You've got to do intentional. I'm a physicist, so sometimes I'm amazed how God is using the physical, the world, like the physics laws, to teach me those kind of lessons. Okay, one of the laws in physics is what's called the second law of the thermodynamics. It says that the entropy, which is the measurement of a disordenedness, keeps increasing. So that means everything goes to disorder. So it goes from orderliness to disorderliness. That's a change. That's a change, and that change is mandatory. It's everywhere that you can see in the world. You see, there's tears and wears, the house is going old, the car goes broken and needs fixed, and people are growing older and sick and eventually dying. So those are the change. It's called second law of the thermodynamics. But if we need another change, for example, I give you an example. If I'm bouncing a basketball here, the basketball here, okay, if I bounce here, it will bounce back to my same height, which means the energy will be conserved. Okay, which happens to be the first law of the thermodynamics. Okay, but anyway, so that's how it will do ideally. But since we have air friction, so every time I bounce, and then the hair gets a little bit hotter, a little bit warmer. So the energy is kind of transformed to heat, which is wasteful. So sometimes the energy of bouncing the ball to the same height is kind of wasted in the heat. That's a change. That's the change. That change is mandatory. In other words, we are going bad. We are going disorderly, mandatory. So everyone is doing bad and worse, and to a point that everyone should perish. This is the change, which is the mandatory change. God is just. God is punishing our sin. And the sin bears a consequence. The wages of sin is death. So from life to death, that's the mandatory change. If another intentional change would never happen, this is going to be our destiny. Every one of us should go to hell, should die. That's the mandatory change of every one of us. Unless another intentional change happens, which is Jesus takes away your sin and my sin. And he changes the other way around. Just like if I bounce a ball, the same illustration. Okay, can I do the other way around? Can I say, well, let the air cool down a little bit, and then my ball bounce higher? Okay, see my point? Okay, the natural way is that the air gets a little bit warmer, and the ball bounce a little bit lower. That's the mandatory change. That's the natural change. But think about this. If there's a phenomenon that the air can get a little bit cooler, and then I get more energy to bounce it higher. Well, it will not violate the first law, which is the conservation of the energy. If you calculate very carefully, it can happen. But it violates the second law. Now, what God is doing here, God is intentionally changing. In other words, he's overruling the natural law to give us life, to give us a change. Changing from death to life, changing from hell to heaven, changing from sin to righteousness, changing from hatred to love. So this is what we're going to take a look today. Okay, let's see where we were from, where we used to be from, and where God wants us to change to. Okay, so let's read a little bit from Isaiah 10 and see if we can answer those big questions. Okay, Isaiah 10, and it talks about woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees. So those are the bad status. Those are the bad situation. God says, woe for to them. Because that's not God intends to us to be. And he wants us to change from there. So keep those two major questions in your mind as we read through. Okay, let's read it together from 2 to the rest. To deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What will you do on the day of reckoning when disaster comes from afar? To whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? Nothing will remain but to cringe among the captives or fall among the slain. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still not unpraised. Woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, in whose hand is the club of my wrath. I send him against a godless nation. I dispatch him against the people who anger me, to seize loot and snatch power, and to trample them down like in the streets. But this is not what he intends. This is not what he has in mind. His purpose is to destroy and to put an end to many nations. And now my commanders, all kings, he says, is not Conor Fred like a Kachemish, is not Hamath like an Arpad, and Samaria like Damascus. As my hand seized the kingdoms of the idols, kingdoms whose image is exalted, those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not deal with the Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and the idols? And how do you look in his eyes? For he says, by the strength of my hand, I have done this. Does the axe raise itself above the person who swings it? Or the sword boasts against the one who uses it? As if a rod were to wield the person who lifts up, or a club brandish the one who is not wood. Therefore, the Lord Almighty, will send a wasting disease upon the sturdy warriors, under the palm a fire will be kindled, like a blazing flame. The light of Israel will become a fire. The Holy One of flame, in a single day it will burn. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivor of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. Though your people be like the sand by the sea, Israel, only a remnant will return. Destruction has been decreed. All right, great. So remember what those two big questions are? Okay. Find out where we should change from, and find out where we should change to. Okay. So where are we changing from? We look at the Assyrians, and we will know. Okay. So this is information from a prophet. But the prophet has some characteristics in them. So prophets have a motive because they are spokesmen for God. So they speak for God. So this is their motive. Okay, they don't speak for themselves. They don't have the personal gain or agenda. And they have a mission. The forth telling, talk about right now. Okay, this is your sin, repent. And this is what God says. And this is what it means. I'm going to explain that to you. So this is the foretelling. And then there's the foretelling. Okay. If you don't repent, it's going to be a judgment. And if you repent, there's a promise. Or it's going to rain in how long? Or the rain is going to stop or something like this. But those are minor stuff. The major stuff is calling for repentance and calling on the belief and the faith and the promise of Jesus. Okay, those are the major tasks, the major mission. And they have a message. And they require a man's response. So when they talk about repent, they ask us to repent with obedience. They promise some promises. They ask us to have trust in God. So this is what they do. So we're going to look at the problem of Assyrians today. And actually, the problem of Assyrians is our problem. And that's where we should... Okay. I only have a few more minutes. Okay. Okay. So, the problem is here. Number one, even God says that Assyrians is the rod of my wrath. Is a tool I'm using. Even God says that. But Bible also says that this is not what he intends. He does not intend to be used by God. He intends to destroy many nations to have personal gain. So, this is the first problem that the Assyrian shows us. And that's what God shows us. That's our problem as well. Sometimes we are intending to destroy others, to sacrifice others' benefit for our own gain. This is our problem. If you do this, if I do this, we need to know this is what God is calling us to change from. We cannot continue because that's not what God intends us to be. Number two, pride. Okay. Isaiah 10:12-13 basically says that. says that, oh, I do this, I do that because I have strength, I have power. So, today, if you think, well, I'm a student, I'm good at the music, I'm good at athletic, and I have a good grade, you know, because I work harder and I'm excellent, so this I deserve this grade. If you do this, that's pride. Look at what God says. God says in Deuteronomy, it says that basically, okay, it's not my power and strength. Basically, it says that, okay, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and confirms and has the purpose of confirms the covenant between God and people. So basically, there's a couple of implications here. Number one, God basically says that, well, your wealth, your strength, your effectiveness, your result of working is actually up to God. It's not up to you. And second point that is implied here, that even if you have those results from working, this power and strength of working itself comes from God. So let's see this. Okay, you look at yourself, and sometimes you will say, well, I work out harder than and people, and I do my free throws and multiple times, 100 times a day, and then I can shoot better, even probably in Shaquille or whatever. Shaquille, you know, he works hard as well because that's his job. He let me tell you, he works very hard on free throws because he wants to change his rate because his rate was terrible, like 30 or 40%. And then he worked harder and everywhere, every year, you know, for some summer before he really quit. He had to quit. And some commentary said that Shaquille O'Neal worked really harder and he changed from terrible to very bad. Okay. But anyway, so look at this. You work harder and he works harder, but you have your result and he doesn't. It's a grace. Okay, even if you work harder, you get what you get. That's a grace. That's not a direct result. It's not an immediate, it's not a guaranteed result from your work. Okay, know this. If you work harder, you see, according to God's the words, I teach my children and my children excel. Okay, don't be prideful. Okay, even if you work harder, and so many other people are working as hard as you do, and maybe harder than you are, but they don't have the result you have. So the first implication is that, okay, when you do this, when you have your result, when you have your effectiveness, stop for a moment. Think about this. It's mercy of God. It's the grace of God that He gives you wealth. He gives you result. And second implication is that even when you do that, when you work, where does the power come from? It comes from the Lord. Okay. So next time, when you say, I have the power, I have the strength, I have the ability to do that, stop for a moment. Pause. There's an implication here. God is the one who gives you that. And I remember there's another joke. See, the scientists really have figured out what life is, and they are going to make life out of dust or out of some kind of element, maybe water or dust or something. And he boasts in front of God and see, now we got the life. You created Adam, and we can do as well. And God said, what are you using? Using the dust. And God says, use your own dust. Use your own dirt, okay? So sometimes, you know, the dirt, the dust, the water, everything comes from the Lord, okay? You have the ability to work, the ability comes from the Lord. All right. So, this is the problem of a siren. A siren has two problems, remember that? Okay. Number one, they are using the ability to get the personal gain, to destroy many other nations. Number two, they boast about the power and the strength that they are using. Okay. And those are the problem of ourselves. Okay. So we need to change from that. And the problem of the people who would destroy the Assyrian is also our problem. You know, he intends to destroy. So everything he does is either to destroy or to be destroyed. Okay, so they will be destroyed by the Babylon. And they destroy the Israel and the Judah. So, and they have the same problem. Whoever destroyed the Assyrian has the same problem. They're using the ability and the strength for their personal gain. And they are prouding themselves to have the power and strength. And remember, and the other type of problem of people whom the Assyrian would destroy is Israel and Judah. And they were thinking, we work so hard, we have a covenant with God, but why? Why this painful stuff coming to our nation? Why? We work hard, we should have a good result. No, you don't. You're not supposed to. Yes, you're supposed to work hard, but the result is up to the Lord. If the Lord is merciful, and if the Lord has a plan on you at that time frame, he will give you the result. No, you're not supposed to have the result. So, but that's exactly what the Israelites are complaining. Okay, we work hard, we are the people of God, we follow you. They pretend they are following God. But people are invading us and we become the captives. And we don't have the result. I work hard and my grades is still C or D or even F. What happens? If you think you deserve A, if you think you deserve whatever, it's wrong. You don't deserve it. It's the Lord who grants that by his grace, by his mercy. So the problem of the people who the Assyrian destroyed is also our problem. Because sometimes we think we have the ability to do that. But let me summarize the problem where we are from and where we should change to. This is what we are changing to. Okay, look at those diagrams. If I work harder, if I get the result, well, you need to be grateful because God has been gracious to you. If I work harder, yes, I have effort, but no, I don't have a result. Well, God has another plan for you. Just trust him with quietness. Or if I don't work, but I still had an A, oh yeah, praise God. Okay, that's completely mercy, right? Okay, if I don't work, if I don't have a result, well, praise God because he's just. The Bible says that people who don't work, what? Don't eat, right? So if you don't work, don't eat. So that's just of God. So if you don't work hard, but if you don't have a result at the same time, you say, yeah, God is just. Let me hear what he has to say to me. And he says to you, work harder, and you can get what he desires for you by his mercy. So let's go back to this two big questions today. All right, the two major questions, we are changing no matter what. And we need to do that intentionally. God has done his part. He intentionally changes that. Now, where are we changing from? From our pride. And the pride could be using your ability to destroy others and for your personal gain. Your pride would be boast about the strength that God has given you, but you have not acknowledged it. His mercy. Where are we changing to? We're changing from pride to humanity. We're changing from Gentiles to spiritual Israelites. We're changing from outside of the covenant to in the covenant that Jesus has had prepared for you and me. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to change. We're changing from pride to humanity. Changing from complaints to celebration. Changing from a outsider to inside of a covenant. Changing from a unwillingness to willingness to serve you and to accept your grace and forgiveness and offer our forgiveness to others. And also changing from our bitterness and hatred to love. We thank you for calling us to change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.